Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have in our gospel lesson is two people who are in the same boat. Just one of them doesn't know it. And we have Jesus in the midst. And Jesus is acting in such a way that he makes it clear that he desires the salvation of sinners, that he wants to be gracious to those who have fallen, and he wants to enlighten those who are blinded. Right now, there's a guy by the name of Simon, and he's a Pharisee. That means he is a prominent religious guy. He was one of those guys that you pointed to on the street and go, "There's a pillar of society." And in all external things, this Simon the Pharisee, he was a guy to be looked up to. But it's interesting that, yeah, he invites Jesus to his house for supper. But he does not observe the customary acts of hospitality. He doesn't provide water for the washing of Jesus' feet. That was a custom, and to forget to do that was an act of neglect and inhospitality. He also did not greet him with a kiss, which was another breach of hospitality. And the third breach of hospitality was that he did not anoint Jesus' head with oil. You see, if you were welcomed in somebody's house in those days, those were the three things they did. They greeted you with a kiss, they washed your feet, and they anointed your head with oil. Sounds odd, I know, to us, but that's the way they did it in those days. Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus over for dinner, but he does not observe the customary niceties because he doesn't like Jesus, and he only invited him over in order to keep an eye on him and to judge him and form an opinion about him. Let's see if this Jesus guy measures up to my expectations. Now this guy, listen to me and take it seriously, because this includes all of us. He was lost and dead in sins. Even though everybody in town looked up to him, he was dead in sin, unrepentant unbeliever. And he was surely on his way to eternal damnation, even though he was outwardly obedient and observant. His heart was the heart of a serpent, and he was in impenitence and in unbelief. Now, while Jesus was sitting at the table, a woman comes in. And St. Luke tells us about this woman, that she was a notorious sinner. She was known in that town as someone who had publicly and openly broken God's law, and therefore was obviously a sinner. Now listen, we all break God's law. Most of the time, only God and you and I personally know it. But sometimes people fall into sins where Their fall is public, their actions are public, and therefore they are notorious, not necessarily because their sins are so bad, but because everybody knows about it. All right? And so this woman, there were a lot of people worse than her, and there were a lot of people better than her. But the thing that made her notorious is that she was publicly known to have broken faith with God and fallen into sin and remained in it. She comes to this dinner and she stands behind Jesus weeping. And you might ask yourself, how does she get away with this? You know, coming into a private dinner party? Well, you know, the Pharisees had a tradition. And when they threw a dinner party, they had their invited guests sitting at the table with them. But anybody from the town could come in and sit along the wall around the dining room and watch as the Pharisees dined, and they could listen in on the dinner conversation. So even if you weren't invited, you could come in and be an audience for the dinner party. Well, this woman walks in and she stands behind Jesus and she's weeping. She's weeping. And she does something that's extremely embarrassing. First thing, she begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. And she begins to wipe his feet with the hair of her head. And she repeatedly kisses his feet. And finally, she breaks open this jar of fragrant oil, perfume, and she pours it all over Jesus' feet. Now, what was she doing? She was showing that she had miraculously and wonderfully come to faith that Jesus was the Son of God who had come into the world to save sinners like her. And she was so filled with thanksgiving, so filled with love for Jesus and thanksgiving for the forgiveness of her sins, that she made up for Simon's lack of hospitality by washing Jesus' feet with her tears, by wiping them with her hair, by kissing his feet, and by pouring expensive perfume on his feet. These are acts of repentance, faith, love, and thanksgiving, because Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. Now, here's the problem. Some people know that they are sinners, and when they hear about Jesus, they are either repelled by him or they begin to love him. Other people, they don't really think of themselves as sinners because they're self-deceived by their outward act of being a good person. And so they don't think of themselves as a sinner, even though they've broken every one of the Ten Commandments multitudinous times. Yet they think, I'm a good person. You know, I'm nice to my friends. I do all kinds of good things. Therefore, I'm a good person. Listen, in the eyes of God, every last one of us stands as a lawbreaker, and the Ten Commandments hover over us with words of condemnation. We haven't kept number one. We haven't kept number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 either. All right? We are lawbreakers in the eyes of God, every one of us. But some people deceive themselves into thinking it's not so. This was Simon's problem. He thought he was a righteous man. And so when he sees this woman, he sees her doing these things, he begins to sneer in his mind. And he castigates Jesus in his mind. And he says, if this man were a prophet, he'd know what kind of a fallen woman this is, and he wouldn't let her touch him. You see? So the fact that he's letting this woman touch him shows that he's no prophet. He's no nothing. I don't have to take account of him. You see? And that's what unbelievers in their impenitence do. They find some fault with Jesus because of some other person. They find fault with Jesus and they say, therefore, I don't have to reckon with him. And so he dismisses Jesus. Now Jesus immediately proves that he is a prophet and more than a prophet. He says, Simon, I got something I got to say to you. And Simon says, go ahead. And Jesus proceeds to show Simon that not only does he know what kind of a woman this is, but he knows what Simon has been thinking in his heart. And he says there's two debtors to this creditor. One owed him 500 pence, the other owed him 50. They didn't have enough money to pay him back, and so he forgave their debt. Simon, which one of the two will love him more? And Simon has to, well, the guy who owed more, all right, will love him more. And Jesus says, you are quite correct. And then he says, you know, I came into your house, you offered me no water. This woman wept her tears onto my feet. You did not greet me with a kiss. This woman has been kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. This woman has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, who is forgiven much, loveth much. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, her love shows that she is forgiven of her sins. You see, our faith is the proof that we have received the grace of God. And so we have here in this woman someone who believes in the forgiveness of sins and loves Jesus because of it and expresses that love in a public confession of faith. She is forgiven much and she loves much. Now listen, Simon had just as many sins as the woman, but he didn't think he did. And therefore, he didn't love Jesus because he didn't think he needed a Savior. And so, he remained ambivalent about Jesus, even hostile to Jesus, because he thought he was a righteous man and that Jesus was the sinner. All right? And so this man, he is forgiven little, which means he's not forgiven, because he loves little, he has no faith. But the woman is, she has many sins, but they are forgiven, and she responds to that forgiveness by loving Jesus. All right, so Jesus does two things at the end. First of all, he says to the woman, thy sins are forgiven. And by the way, that is the chief good, all right? The most important thing in the world that you will ever receive is the forgiveness of your sins. And every other blessing that God ever gives to you will be a consequence of the forgiveness of sins. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, while the dinner guests are grumping about that, and so they're mumbling and grumping, who does he think he is forgiving sins? Right? And Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith in me, your trust in me has made you among the saved. Though you were a sinner, and though by your sins you merited wrath and damnation, yet through faith in me, your sins are forgiven, and you are a child of God. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And this is how the Christian lives. The Christian lives in this world in the peace of God that has been won for us by Christ Jesus our Lord, until we are taken into glory. Amen.